When you say the word Rambam, when you mention that name, so what comes to mind? Ah, there we go. The 13 principles of faith. What else comes to mind? I would say Halachist, right? The great codifier, one of the great, certainly in the last 1,000 years, maybe the greatest halachic authority, some would argue. Mimosha ad Moshe lo kam kamoshe. You might say great philosopher. What's interesting is that sometimes you overlook that the Rambam was also a great ethicist. And we find that even in the Rambam's classic halachic work, the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam will include little nuggets, usually at the end of a chapter or the end of a section, where he will kind of tip his ethical cap at you and say, well, this halacha, even if it's a very obscure ruling, maybe having something to do with the laws of Me'ila, Kachim, and using something inappropriate, misappropriating something from the Beis HaMikdash, well, it teaches you something about how you serve Hashem, or something. And then, of course, the Rambam has, in his legal code, the Rambam has what's called Hilchos Deos, the laws of character development. So for the Rambam, character development and a legal standard are not two realms. Character development is part and parcel of expectations of a Jewish person. It's a legal requirement. It's not just, you know, a nice add-on. So in that vein, we can appreciate the following comment of the Rambam, which appears in the 4th chapter of the Shmona Prakim. Shmona Prakim literally is translated as 8 chapters, because the Rambam, he wrote an introduction in his Pirush HaMishnayos, in his commentary on the Mishnayos, which he wrote when he was a teenager. He wrote a commentary, an introduction to Pirkei Avos, which is a lengthy introduction, and it is 8 chapters. Hence, it was given the very creative name, Shmona Prakim. So the Rambam, this is often studied independent of the Rambam's other commentary on the Mishnayos. It's a very important work. So here, Rav Volbe draws upon one section of the Pirush HaMishnayos in his explanation of and his discussion of what we're calling Limud HaMusar. Sure. Which last week we said focuses on the person in the center of the discussion. Now he quotes this very interesting Rambam, which enables us to focus on what does it mean to put ourselves in the center in our growth. He says, Ha'adam Hashalem, the whole person, the complete person, Tzarech lo sheyizkor midosav tamid. He needs to constantly remember his midos, his character traits, tamid, all the time. And v'yishkol pe'ulosav. Yishkol comes from the word shokel, mishkal, which means, that's right, weigh your pe'ulos, your actions. V'yivchon, like the word bechina, you need to test, you need to examine. Tchunos nafsho, the qualities of your soul, yom yom, the Rambam says, every day. Mashayira nafsho nota litzad kotzem in aktsofos. The Rambam notes that people, we're not static beings, we're dynamic, we're very fluid. So what may happen, you may over time develop a certain habit or tend in a certain direction. And we know this from our life experience. Sometimes we'll look at ourselves in the mirror and we'll say, wait a second, I didn't used to be like that. Sometimes it's in a good way, and sometimes it's like, well, how did I end up like this? Like, I used to be something else, or I used to act in a different way, or I had a different attitude. And we don't know how, and sometimes it's due to environmental factors, sometimes it's due to biological factors, sometimes it's due to age factors, experiences, that we used to be in a certain place, and now we're in a different place. So the Rambam says about this, we need to examine ourselves every day, yom yom. Why? Because if a person will see Mashi Yira Nafsho Note Litzad Kotzim and Aksavos, the Rambam says that the person may find themselves Note, Lintos means to tip in one extreme, to one edge. This is reminiscent of another important principle that the Rambam has, which is what people call the golden mean. The Rambam thinks that a person has to be in the Derech HaMamutza, in the middle. A person has to be very balanced, even-handed, even-keeled. So the Rambam says, what's a concern about our character traits? Well, we're supposed to be a balance between generosity and caution in terms of our finances. We're supposed to be balanced between, you know, selflessness and self-preservation. I wouldn't say self-interest or selfishness, but self-preservation. You're supposed to be balanced between, you know, patience and, you know, intensity. So the Rambam says you got to be balanced, but what happens over time for a variety of reasons? A person could somehow slip into a more extreme position. So the Rambam says you need to be mindful every day to pay attention. And therefore, yemaher berefua, quickly attend to remedying that situation. Velo yaniach hatchuna hara lehischazek. A person should not allow this bad midah, this spiritual weed that's growing in the garden to grow longer. Bishnoso maisara. You know, as the weeds grow higher, you know what happens? It gets harder to rip them out. It's a harsh analogy, but that's what happens. The Rambam says, catch it while you have an easier time of it to fix it.
And they also take up the space.
Yes, they grow in and impinge on everything else. Absolutely. V'chein, yasim leneged einav hamidos habchusos asher lo v'yishtadil erfosim. A person should put the issues that need attention in front of his mind all the time and focus on refuasam tamid. So this, says Rav Volbi, is crucial for what is the avodas hamusar. You know what the fundamental principle of Musar is about? Of Musar education? It is not listening to drushes and reading essays. Ela bekvius yom yomis hamyuedes livchon tchunos nafsho yom yom. Al yede limud sifrei Musar beritzifus be'in v'chazar tmidus kemishpat limud Torah. Rather, what it is a persistent and consistent self-examination, and through the learning of Sifrei Musar on a consistent basis every day. And so he says, listening to a shmooze or a shir or a lecture or an inspiring talk, it's great, but that's just parparos. That's just like that's the dessert or the appetizer. That's not the real essence. The real essence of the work is the daily focus. Now, the only thing we might add is a I don't want to say a counterbalance, but kind of a frame for this experience. Because for some people, this is the only path that they need. And they're totally into this. But for others, this, if it's not in a healthy context, it could be sometimes, for some, it could be challenging and even problematic. Two levels. Let's think about this. The first one is that, yes, we need to be, the Rambam says, we need to be constantly examining ourselves, and people who are Bali Musar, they will make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. We even know some people, perhaps, who keep a cheshbon ha-nefesh notebook at the end of the day before they go to sleep. They'll take a note of something that they did, they didn't do, something that they wanted to accomplish, they didn't accomplish. The first piece of I don't want to say concern, but ha'ara, is that we have to be careful that this daily cheshbon ha-nefesh doesn't become a daily self-flagellation exercise. Because when we talk about vidui, what is vidui? Right, confession. So comes Yom Kippur, we're going to do, and Slichas, we're going to do a lot of vidui. But vidui doesn't just mean confession in the sense of, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I did the other thing wrong. There's also in halacha something called vidui maaser, which appears in Parashas Kisavo. We'll get there in a couple of weeks, where the Torah describes, you know what happens when you're a farmer at the end of your cycles of tithes, the first 3-year cycle, then the second 3-year cycle, you have to make a declaration. It's not a public declaration. You don't go beating your chest in front of the whole world like Mikra Bikurim, but it's a quiet statement that you say to God, I did everything right. And that's called vidui. Vidui means to take a verbal accounting of what you did. So cheshbon nefesh means to be both the things that we missed out on, but of course also, and maybe I'm heavily influenced, not maybe, I definitely am heavily influenced by positive psychology. It also means looking at the positive things that we did that day and building on those. So the challenge sometimes, though, of the yom yomi is, of course, to make sure that there's also positive. But when we look at chunos and character traits, that is similar to thinking about the growth of a tomato plant. If you go out every single day, twice a day, to check on your tomato plants, it's a terribly frustrating experience. And at tomato plants, at least Mela, you see tiny little buds. But if you plant an oak tree in your backyard, right, watching that every day is mentally debilitating. So that, I think, is the first ha'ara, that the challenge of looking at something every day is, it doesn't, you know, it shouldn't eclipse or push away the idea that we're not going to fix everything in one day, and that growth is a continuum. So a person shouldn't look at themselves every day and say, you know what? The Rambam says that the midah of kas, of anger, is the worst midah, only trumped by the midah of gaiva, of arrogance, and those two are correlated, so I'm going to have to destroy and eradicate. The Rambam says you have to be an extremist to get rid of your kas and your gaiva. So I checked myself at the end of the day, as my gaiva meter was pretty low, but not low enough. It started out, you know, it was at a 10, high level of intensity of self-absorbed narcissism. That's where I was this morning. But by tonight, I'm at least down to an 8.6. So far, so good. Then I look at myself the next day and I'm like, okay, probably an 8.5. It's like, oh, it's taking me a whole day. I'm not getting anywhere. So if we recognize that yom yom does not mean you have to transform everything every day in one shot, that's okay. But we have to be careful that the yom yom, the consistent time that we have for limud musar and cheshbon hanefesh, does not mean, it doesn't mean it's all going to change in one shot. That's number one. Number two is, not to take anything away from this, and this is what Ravolbi quotes from Rav Yitzchak Blaser, which he says, traditional in many yeshivas, they did this, that they have some time every day for Liman HaMusar, for Cheshbon HaNefesh. But the other issue is that the next point of the Rambam, again, far be it from me, I'm not taking anything away from this Rambam, I'm just putting it in a different light, perhaps, which is that when we study the Baal HaTanya, the Baal HaTanya does talk about the great... Chabad work, the Lubavitcher, first Lubavitcher Rebbe's work, he talks about the importance of facing and working on, of course, to bring the light into our lives and move us from the left chamber of our heart, so to speak, from din to the right chamber. And of course, we have to focus on and face the challenges that we have. But we have to be careful not to dwell in a place that leads us to excessive frustration or sadness. Dr. Pelkovitz talks about different kinds of guilt. There is guilt which is associated oftentimes with shame and paralysis. And then there is guilt that helps move us forward. So we have to be very careful when we're doing this cheshbon hanefesh, that the guilt that we should correctly feel, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuva, boshti v'nichamti, that guilt should not be a guilt of shame that leads to isolation and ultimately to despair. That's not a healthy cheshbon hanefesh. I should say that. For some people, maybe that's a great cheshbon hanefesh, but I would say that for the vast majority of us, that's not a healthy cheshbon hanefesh every day. If the cheshbon hanefesh is leading you to a point of despondency, so then that's a significant red flag. That's a problem. Quite the opposite. If a person is challenging themselves and growing, so then the fact that we have more spiritual weight to lose, that shouldn't be a point of depression. That should be a good motivator to keep working on it. But that is, I think, another cautionary note when we think about a cheshbon yom yomi. There's the tree pitfall potentially, and then there's the overshadowing pitfall that says, you know, oh my gosh, there's so much to work on, and it's overwhelming, and it leads a person to atzfus. You know, a good indicator of where that guilt is, if that guilt is something which is constructive and healthy and building the person up rather than destroying the person and shredding them to bits. So those are just two caveats on this, and maybe I'm not adequately devoted to the world of Mussar to appreciate it on its own, but I think, just from my own experience, that is helpful. The challenge sometimes is to balance that, because if we're always focusing on the, quote-unquote, the positive psychology and doing what is our strength, then that could potentially lead to an abandonment of the areas that need work. There is this very interesting thing. Everybody, you can do it. We have it. We usually do it once a year with the Kollel Fellows. There is, you know, Martin Seligman, the father of positive psychology at Penn, so he has a whole institute for positive psychology, and they have these free online questionnaires that you can take, which are very interesting. You learn about yourself, and they analyze your responses, and they share with you feedback. So one of them, and I got this from Dr. Pelkovitz, we use it every year with the Kollel Fellows when we get together, either at the beginning of the year or we have a mid-year regroup. So it's what they call the values in action test. It's a strength test to talk about your values. So they have a scale of 24 different values. You input your answers to the 100 and some questions, and then it spits back to you, based on your answer, what are your values? And they rank them from 1 till 24. So it's a great exercise. That's a really good limud hamusar exercise. You know, where does compassion fit? Where does spirituality fit? Where does creativity fit? Where, you know, it's really good. And then if you take this every 6 months or every year, and then over the course of several years, it's interesting to learn about yourself, where you are. But if you only pay attention to the top five strengths, and then you abandon the bottom four, and you're just like, well, that's not my strength, so I'm not going to pay attention to it, so then you're probably missing out. You're probably missing out, because those strengths, you know, we're not going to call them weaknesses because we're very positive. It's good. But those areas that need more attention.
Opportunities.
Yeah, they're good. That's opportunities, right. They're opportunities that are calling out for focus. And we can assess them and say, you know what? It could be that they're not me. And that's not who I am. That's not what I'm going to be. And therefore, that's okay. You know, not every person is going to be Henny Machlis. No one, except for Henny Machlis, Allah Shalom, Sklusa Tavim Aleinu, no one is going to be Henny Machlis. Only Henny Machlis is going to be Henny Machlis. Only one person is going to be Rav Eliashiv. No, how many other people are going to be Rav Eliashiv? One of the great. But on the other hand, let's be honest with ourselves. We need to be doing this Cheshbon HaNefesh. And perhaps, skip down to the second to last paragraph, perhaps this is as relevant as ever. Says Rav Volbi, Ein kol siba ba'olam lachshov ki pag kocho v'taymo shalimud zekayom. There's no reason to think that this pursuit, this limud, this focus of daily self-reflection is any less essential today than it was when Rav Yisrael Salanter created the Muslim movement over 200 years ago. Don't think that it's any less important. Rav Volbi didn't live to see the trend called mindfulness, but you could argue that Cheshbon HaNefesh is more in today than it ever was before, in the Welt, you could say, in the world. It's a thing, mindfulness. People are talking about it. That's another way of saying Cheshbon HaNefesh is mindfulness. It's taking out time to think about, wait a second, I am a free person. I have the ability to choose how I'm going to respond to the situation, how I'm going to react to the situation, how I'm going to deal with it. What kind of person do I want to be in this situation? So first part of it is the self-awareness. What am I doing? What kind of character traits do I have? And then how am I going to deliver? How am I going to execute? He says, Derech ye'ila yoser l'shmira al tzura sa'adam v'kiyam ha'mitzvahs ein. There is no more effective way to be cautious and to be focused on and successful at maintaining the tzura, the type of person that we want to be, and the way that we want to fulfill our mitzvos. Right? That's what we said last time, that there's an objective standard for mitzvos, and then there's the subjective way that I am going to fulfill my mitzvos. There's no better way, he says, tried and true, than this cheshbon hanefesh. Va'adraba imatkufa merubos ba'ayos. Sometimes a person is going through a difficult time. He says, in that case, kiflayim letushia b'limud hamusar. You need to double down on this focus on the self. And so this is something that we can integrate into our lives in different ways. For some, it might be keeping the little cheshbon hanefesh in their night table, a little drawer, write down one thing that you know needed work today or fell short, and then don't forget to write one thing that you did well. Cheshbon hanefesh in both directions. It could be a reminder on your phone. It could be that you want to take 5 minutes when you're driving in the car, you go somewhere every day, you're going to put a post-it note on the dash, and it's going to say 5 minutes of quiet. No radio, no shaving, no eating, no talking on the phone, hands free. Nothing, just thinking. It doesn't have to be with this, I mean, obviously, if it's with a Musa Sefer, Gavaldik, but it doesn't have to be with a Musa Sefer. It means potentially 2 minutes or 5 minutes of conscious mindfulness, of thinking, what am I up to? How am I doing? Let's say I'm going to start and I'm going to pick two tichunos, two areas of character that I need to work on. Maybe I need to be more friendly. So every day I'm going to have my friendly barometer, the friendlometer. I'll have it on my dashboard. I'm going to think about it for 5 minutes when I drive. Am I being friendly today? Did I reach out to somebody today? You know, some people, we just need to slow down a little bit. So did I slow down today? What are the tchunos that I'm working on? And we can find ways to incorporate them in our life. And I think it's a very powerful idea of incorporating some time for thinking, for learning Musar, for focusing on ourselves. Of course, like we said before, in the balanced way, in the proper context, it can really help change us, not in a night, not in a day, but over the course of time. So it's hard to believe that this experiment that started in November has kind of culminated now, but I want to thank everybody who has joined this journey. The idea of calling it Power Torah as we started was that there are a lot of powerful ideas out there in the world of Torah that can impact our way and illuminate our way of life, and it's certainly been really helpful for me, so I thank you for the opportunity, and we will continue next year. I would strongly encourage anybody who is around and available this coming week, Sunday and Monday, register for the Yarchi Kala. The classes have always historically been amazing, and the lunch is also Very good. So you'll find the registration, either call the office or send an email. And best wishes for a great summer. So thank you.
Thank you.